Looking for your next favorite podcast? Start here.
I think as a soldier, I just kind of glanced over the fact that you got shot in the neck. In my head, I'm like, oh yeah, that's a thing that happened, as two guys who have been shot in the head area.
And the woman who is sitting to my left, right next to me, is laughing and smiling. She puts her hand on my hand and she says, oh, Al, you know, we've never had a nigger in our house before.
So I believe that most people, we deal with a lot of priorities that are not really ours. So finding out which ones really belong to us, that's, I think, part of the work.
Welcome to this week's episode of the WVXU Discovery Podcast, Start Here. I'm Trip Eldridge, your podcast jockey. Get set for a quick overview and sample of three podcasts today, two national and one locally produced, to help you navigate the ever-growing world of the podcast phenomenon. Plus, we're introducing the all-new Start Here Blast weekly e-newsletter. You'll get a personalized email with a podcast we feature on Start Here. Just go to wvxu.org/subscribe and select the Start Here Blast email from the bottom of the page. Also, now you can rate Start Here on iTunes. And if you're a fan, a 5-star rating will help others find us in the iTunes gallery. So don't forget to rate us on iTunes today. And now, with special thanks for technical assistance from Cincinnati Public Radio's Jim Nolan and writing research and curation support by Connor Eldridge, it's time to Start Here. We start this week's episode with a podcast called Battle Scars. Host and former soldier Tom Tran takes the mic to reflect on some of his experiences of war. In fact, each week Tom is joined by a fellow vet to discuss some of their stories, the ones that would never have been told otherwise. They're raw, sometimes funny, sometimes terrifying, but always gripping. With immersive sound design, Battle Scars allows you as a listener to experience just a glimpse of what it's like to fight, from medics to soldiers to pilots. Every person's experience is different, and every person's story is worth hearing. In this sample from a recent episode of Battle Scars called Surrounded, Outnumbered, Shot in the Throat, Tom welcomes guest Simon Maloney, a former sniper and British Army vet, to discuss his near-death experience in the midst of a hopeless firefight. In this clip, Simon describes the wound that should have killed him.
So there was Simon, surrounded, outnumbered by dozens of pissed-off Taliban fighters, desperate to reclaim the building which held deep symbolic meaning for them. And he was shot. Shot through the throat. The kind of wound you just don't survive. The vital highway that takes blood to the brain and air to the lungs had just taken an enemy bullet. So how was Simon still standing, let alone still fighting?
I've seen enemy soldiers getting shot in the throat, and you know, I've never seen anything as clean as what mine was. You know, it's messy. There's a lot of stuff that can go wrong around the area.
I think as a soldier, I just kind of glanced over the fact that you got shot in the neck. In my head, I'm like, oh yeah, that's a thing that happened. As two guys who have been shot in the head area, we're still here talking to each other. But how did that not kill you? I mean, did it just miss your carotid artery?
Obviously, the bullet was in and out, so it's an entry and an exit. We'll never be sure on what caliber it was, but I think it was the little Chinese AK rounds, so like the 5.45.
Yeah.
I think if it's a 7.62, I would have been dead flat out. It would have just ripped everything out. I mean, that's a big hole from a 7.62. Yeah. How you took that to the head? I mean, you should have been a boxer, because you can take stuff like that to the head. Yeah, you've got a strong head on you. And it was also a tracer round, because the round zipped in front of the machine gunner's face, because he went, fuck. And then when he turned and looked, I'm obviously holding my throat and rolling off on the way to the goat. The surgeon said to me, he says, I would not be able to make the incision that the bullet made with my scalpel without killing you. Wow. He said, what we think is the force of the bullet, it pushed my artery one way and my windpipe the other, and it went through the middle of all the soft tissue.
Wow.
And because it was a tracer round, cauterized on the way through, which probably stemmed some of the bleeding.
Simon's throat wound wasn't going to kill him, but he wasn't out of the woods quite yet. He was still in a fight for his life, but as more and more of his friends ran under fire to join him in the old schoolhouse, the British began to turn the tables on the Taliban. And Simon himself was eager to get back to playing his part.
At that point, I'm running around with Ash, the machine gunner. He stepped up massively, man. Like, he got back on that same roof and he put down a weight of fire that, you know, would have stopped God himself. Like I said, I didn't expect to see anyone. Those guys were about 400-500 meters away. They had to punch through the Taliban to get to us. And then all of a sudden, I just see, where's the medic? Like, running into the compound on his own.
As medics do.
He got awarded a military cross for that. You know, he ran through Taliban to get to me. I was panicked up until that point, and he literally walked up, took a look at it, and he was like, I've got this. He's like, you're going to be fine. We're still at this point, like, heavily in the shit. It's a massive firefight. Grenades coming inside the compound, and there's, like, rockets, and then all of a sudden, one by one, the boys come in. They've just ran out of that village, and they've managed to make it through. Just quickly turned into a very good day, because it's like, hey, you picked a fight, you've knocked one of us down, but we're all here now, and we're good to go. So, yeah, we're about to see what's going to happen there. And that's what we did. We did what we did best. The boys dug in and we just had an epic firefight. It was, you know, it's like adrenaline's kicking in. So I'm not trying to run around. I actually had to get grabbed by my section commander. He's like, sit the fuck down. The medic is going to tell me when you can get back in. You know, you're in shock. There's adrenaline. I'm like running around like a lunatic trying to keep busy. And then the medic said to the section commander, he's like, he's good. I'm going to check him again in 10 minutes. And that's when I can get involved. Because also, I was the only sniper there. These guys are going into a hot firefight. And it was a situation where you can't get away with putting your head up to identify the enemy because he's going to get shot off. So, you know, how do you get a foothold there? Well, you need the sniper who's got his optics, who can point out targets so that the boys could give them the hurt. You know, there's no point giving the hurt if you can't see where they are. That's why it was important I got back involved. And if you're busy fighting, then you're not sitting there thinking about it. It was nice to just keep busy, I guess.
That was Battle Scars from Panoply. Check out some of the most gripping, horrifying, and compelling stories of war with Battle Scars. Available on WVXU's Podcast Central. This week's featured new edition comes to you from entertainment jack-of-all-trades Al Letson, former host of the popular State of the Reunion podcast. Al can be described as many things: poet, journalist, a playwright, performer, host, and his latest project, The Earthang Show, showcases his many talents. Described as a mixtape of delight, Earthang is a hodgepodge podcast of storytelling, pop culture reviews, interviews, and quote-unquote everything in between. It's a fun, energetic take on podcasts with all the style and swagger that Al Letson can bring to the table. Here's a sample from an episode of Earthang called Guess Who's Coming to Dinner. In this clip, Al tells a story about his break into Broadway playwriting scene, and he remembers his dinner with a wealthy couple of potential investors for his play, and how things didn't go as planned. In this snippet, Al describes the predicament he's immediately put in at dinner.
So we go down into the village. We're kind of on the west side. And this is a very nice area. And we go to this little restaurant and I look at the menu and like, oh my God, it looks so good. But again, I don't have any money. So I look for the cheapest thing on the menu and it's roasted chicken. Fine. I like roasted chicken. That's good. I can afford that. Meanwhile, they start ordering all these appetizers, these big plates of food. And they're bringing it all out. And literally, like, it's massive, this spread that we've got going on. Now, by this time, they're on their fourth or fifth bottle of wine. We all have this great, engaging conversation over dinner. And I really like this couple. And then the bill comes out. And in my head, I'm calculating, like, how much this is all going to cost. And I figure the bill itself must be up to about $2,000. I mean, that's how much they were eating and drinking. And the husband of the couple gets the bill, looks at it, and throws his Amex in there and hands it back to the man. I don't have to pay for anything. And then the woman says to Bobby, Claire, and me, well, would you guys like to come to our house and have coffee or tea? It's just right around the corner. So all of us say yes. And the woman who is sitting to my left, right next to me, is laughing and smiling. She puts her hand on my hand and she says, oh, Al, you know, we've never had a nigger in our house before. Wait. Here is where we stop the story. Because at this point, I felt like I was in a Dave Chappelle skit.
You're listening to When Keeping It Real Goes Wrong. Al Letson, African-American respected NPR host, playwright, and performer, is out eating dinner at a fine dining establishment in New York City with several white people. After the meal, they invite him back to their house for drinks, and one of the women says,
We've never had a nigger in our house before.
Al, completely surprised by this, decided to keep it real.
You ain't never had a nigga in your house before. How about a nigga on your table?
He proceeds to jump on the table, knocking food, plates, and drinks on the floor.
Hello, my baby. Hello, my darling. Hello, my ragtime gal.
Can I get some chicken in here? Fried chicken! What the hell is wrong with you serving a nigga some roasted chicken? I want fried chicken now!
Oh, Al, calm down.
Don't tell me to calm down. You want a nigga, you got him. Hey.
The police arrived on the scene, and in a scuffle to detain him, Mr. Letson inadvertently hit a police officer, thereby turning the charge into a felony.
Let me go.
Mr. Letson is currently serving a sentence of 5 years at Sing Sing Penitentiary, where he works in the laundry room.
But I keeps it real. But that's not what happened.
A sample from Earth Thang with Al Letson. Check out Al's many talents on each episode of the Earth Thang podcast, available now on WVXU's Podcast Central. This week's local podcast is None of Your Business. We're not being funny. That's the name of the show. In None of Your Business, host Caroline Craighead talks with fellow artists about the less glamorous side of making art, making money. Caroline and her guests discuss the issue of financial security for people that don't receive steady paychecks, like artists, musicians, and writers. By sharing resources and stories, None of Your Business helps freelancers wrap their heads around the uncomfortable topic of money. Based out of Covington, the show's made possible thanks to a creative community grant from the Center for Great Neighborhoods in Covington. In this sample from an episode of None of Your Business titled Time and Design, they cover time management and discipline, which, of course, is very important in the often unstructured world of freelance work. In this snippet, Caroline gets some insight from creative coach Alfonso Victoria and how to eliminate procrastination.
And I was whining about it recently at Platform 53, which is a co-working space in Covington's Main Strauss Village. One of the community members in the group who I was griping to started offering up some insight that I thought was too good to not be recorded.
My name is Alfonso Victoria, and I help people make positive change, especially creative entrepreneurs. So people like me, like us.
Most members at Platform 53 work independently or remotely. So working in the space allows them to tap into the benefits of having other people around. You know, people to bounce ideas off of and to share a pot of coffee with. It was at a group lunch together that I started voicing my struggle with managing my time efficiently. And Alfonso offered his take on what I was facing.
There's a lot of information about how to manage time, but I think you are actually managing priorities. So what's more, the most important for you, and then adapting and embracing that time is limited, you know, in life and in a day.
When you have like a lot of priorities though, how do you decide what's the most important, you know? Like that's something that I struggle with.
Yeah, for me, the question is, why do you have so many priorities? So I believe that most people, we deal with a lot of priorities that are not really ours. So finding out which ones really belong to us, that's, I think, part of the work, and probably the hardest work. Because at the end, we usually respond to triggers, and those triggers can be emotional or, you know, external or internal, and in general, most people are, let's say, conditioned to respond to those triggers without first acknowledging that there will be triggers every time, right?
So like I, for example, when I look at my email account.
That's a trigger, that's the first trigger. So one of the things that a lot of people recommend is that you don't look at your email or your Facebook first thing in the morning. I mean, I do it sometimes, but you know that it will probably trigger something.
Oh yeah, this happens to me all the time. I go to Facebook or Gmail automatically, and then I see something that catches my eye, and the next thing I know.
Then you start Googling about it, and then you find more and more and more stuff. Then you're in a rabbit hole,
yeah.
Right?
And then 2 hours have passed.
Two hours have passed, and you're still I don't know, in the bathroom or something.
A snippet from the podcast, None of Your Business, a local podcast for the creative entrepreneur in your life. Check out all the advice and resources offered by this awesome podcast right now on WVXU's Podcast Central. Well, since we last checked, a whole new slew of podcasts have launched and catapulted to the top of the Apple Podcast charts, as reported by iTunesCharts.net. Three hit number one already, in fact. They are Hashtag Viral with Natalie Elzate, a weekly podcast about the business of online video and social media, hosted by the YouTube star. Also, Empire on Blood. It's a new true crime podcast set in the Bronx in the 1990s. The story focuses on two young drug dealers who turn against each other. And Felonious Florida, another new true crime podcast from the South Florida Sun and Wondery. It looks into some of Florida's most notorious crimes. All new and all number one on the Apple Podcast charts. That wraps up this episode of Start Here, WVXU's Discovery Podcast. And speaking of discovery, astronomical discovery, that is, you want to check out our newest original podcast, Looking Up, with Dean Regas and Anna Heyman. Dean's the outreach astronomer at the Cincinnati Observatory and co-host of the PBS series Stargazers and author of the book Facts from Space. Anna's the observatory's director of development with an innate curiosity about the cosmos. That's Looking Up, now at WVXU.org. And if you're turning into a podcast junkie and just can't get enough, try these two new discovery resources, NPR's The Big Listen with Laura Ober. You get an audio peek into great storytelling podcasts. And for a more blog-like written review and recommendation, NPR has earbud.fm. They use unique categories to help you discover podcasts with things like advice, do it like a lady, and big ideas. And of course, Jim Nolan, Kevin Reynolds, and the WVXU staff feature our favorites on Podcast Central at WVXU.org. That's where we'll add your recommendations if you just email us at podcast@wvxu.org or call 513-294-8030 and leave us a voicemail. I'm Trip Eldridge for WVXU, and thank you for choosing to start here.